From the Fancy Lady Cowgirl headquarters, welcome to the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to everyone who embodies the cowgirl or cowboy spirit, regardless of what you wear or where you live. The guests on this show are a little fancy, a little ranchy, and they all have a kick-ass story to tell. I'm your host, Courtney Dehoff. Join me for the ride.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cowgirl Problems Podcast. I always joke that this podcast is simply a way for me to force people to be my friend, and today is no exception. I am so excited. I have been sort of crushing on Emmy and calling all horse girls and all the cool things that she's doing. And so I'm really excited to have Emmy of Calling All Horse Girls joining me on the podcast. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm so good. I'm so excited. Like, could not be more excited.
Emmy, I love Calling All Horse Girls. I love what you're doing there. I love the aesthetic. I'm just like, I'm all in on this. Like, I need to find out more about the woman running the show. And so I was doing some research today on you, which sounds super creepy, but you know, I'm just doing my due diligence. And right. The more I read about you, I was like, wait, we were meant to be friends. Like, this is a thing. There was a stint in New York. I was like, yes, favorite city in the world. I loved living there. Like, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your platform, what you do. But Emmy, let's just kind of start at the beginning. I'm assuming that maybe you grew up with horses or you've always had a love for horses. Talk to me just a little bit about how this all kind of got started, where it started for you.
Yeah. So I grew up in Minnesota, in a suburb outside of Minneapolis, and non-horsey family, like no horses in sight. But my grandmother had a friend that had like a pony or something and took me to ride when I was 4. So that was kind of my first, you know, and it was really, you know, I don't even remember it actually. Like, I saw a home video recently. I was like, oh my gosh, I was on a horse when I was 4. But I then later in life, you know, found horses at a camp or something, begged my parents to ride. And then I am still to this day, the only horse girl in my entire extended family. But yeah, my grandparents then ended up buying my first horse for me, which was, I'm pretty sure he was off the track thoroughbred, but thoroughbred nonetheless, loved him. And yeah, rode all through high school and, did hunter jumpers. And which is why, by the way, I like feel so honored to be on your podcast, because I don't come from the Western side of, you know, the world. But I'm a huge fan of you and just love what you're doing too. So, okay, that was a little side note. Anyway, so yeah, I grew up riding horse showing, you know, was lucky enough to have horses to do the jumpers and hunters. And then I went to school for equestrian studies. I went to college for equestrian studies and rode on the IHSA team, and really did the whole thing. And I did that because I had terrible grades in high school. And this is so long-winded, Courtney.
I love it. This is what I want. The whole story.
Okay. I was a terrible student in high school, so I just did what I knew best, which was horses. So I went to school for that. And about a year in, I just felt like I was really missing out on something else that I had to offer to the world, which was just the creative side of things. And I went to like the building that you go to switch your major. And they were like, yeah, you can look at our majors book. And I was just looking through all the majors and I picked creative advertising just because it had the word creative in it. I literally had no idea like what went into advertising. Long story short, I ended up becoming a copywriter, and that's why I moved to New York to work at advertising agencies. And I left riding completely when I switched my major. So I left it all and just really focused on my career. And then it wasn't until I moved to Los Angeles a few years later that, and then I had a car and I was like, oh my gosh, like I could drive to a barn. I could do this. It could all happen for me. And so that's what I did. I found a barn in Los Angeles and started riding. And while I was there, I was like, whoa, there's like a whole group of people missing from the barn, specifically my age group. And I was like, I feel like everyone is either starting their career or starting a family, or, you know, don't have the resources like time or finances that they maybe used to have as a younger child. And I was like, I wonder what it would look like to create a community for those people that are in this like in between stage. That's the long story.
Oh my gosh. I love this. You know, I've been following you for a while. I've been following Horse Girls for a while. Probably through Allie at Milton Manasco is how I found you. I feel like Allie always follows like the cool people. And so I'm like, okay, I want to be like,
I love Allie.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to be friends with everybody that Allie's friends with. And so you definitely fell into that category. But the more I read about Calling All Horse Girls and what you've done and what you started, I was like, holy cow, there are so many parallels between Fancy Lady Cowgirl and Calling All Horse Girls. And you know, you said it right in the beginning. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm not a cowgirl. I'm a jumper. I come from the equestrian side. Fancy Lady Cowgirl to me is the women on the Western side, the women on the, you know, the English side. Like it's so much bigger than what discipline you ride or what you wear or where you live. And the more I read about Calling All Horse Girls, I was like, dang, these are so, our communities are so very similar. And I loved on your website, you write horse girl and you talk about how horse girl traditionally has such a narrow stereotype associated with it. Right. And I want you to talk a little bit more about that. I want to get a little more into the weeds on Calling All Horse Girls in this community, because Fancy Lady Cowgirl, it started the same way. I was like, where are the girls like me? Where are the girls like me and you who decided to pursue a career, who moved to places like New York City, who are working in advertising and television, who are doctors and moms and nurses and, you know, astronauts and whatever, who still have a love for kind of this way of life. So let's talk a little bit about your community, you know, Calling All Horse Girls. Who is this community for specifically?
Yeah, I mean, great question. I really wanted to create a space that allowed, and I use this line a lot, it's like, it's our Instagram bio, it's on our website, but for horse girls who once were, still are, or have always wanted to be, the community is very much so, you know, horse girls that grew up riding and had to let it go and want it back in their life in some capacity. There's horse girls that are riding every day that ride professional or are still a junior in riding. And then there's horse girls that have literally never been on a horse and are just really excited to have the opportunity to be connected to horses in some way. And those are really the buckets that make up our community. And it's so fun to see, you know, people feel welcome. I get that a lot on Instagram DMs, just like, oh my gosh, I feel so grateful to have found this space and feel like I belong. And, that's the point, right? And like, that's what you're doing with Fancy Lady Cowgirl too. So I couldn't agree more. Like we are so aligned. We are cut out of the same cloth. It's so funny.
Mm. Oh my gosh. I love this. This is so cool. Okay. I know on the cowgirl side, and I scream about this all the time, so it's like no secret that I feel like that part of the community is sometimes not very welcoming. I want to talk about the horse girl, your horse girl community. Do you feel like in that community, is it hard for people to get into it or get back into it if they're like you and I and they have left? Is that sort of the reason that you created Calling All Horse Girls? Because for me, Fancy Lady Cowgirl, it was like, dang, like I grew up a cowgirl. I am a cowgirl. I've always been a cowgirl. But the minute I left, then suddenly they were like, oh, you can't sit with us anymore, girl. And I was like, wait, what? But I what do you feel that way in sort of that horse girl, that horse, I don't want to say horse girl, but sort of that horse equine community? Can it be kind of tough to be accepted in that world?
You know, it's interesting. I think there is a difference. I think for me personally in the equestrian world, it wasn't that I was exiled, you know, once I stopped riding, but it was more so that there was no reason for me to be in the conversation anymore. You know, I didn't have a horse. I wasn't horse showing. You know, I was working in an office in New York where no one knew I was a horse girl. The connection to the horse world and to horses in general just no longer was available, to me. And I don't think it never was like, you're not allowed to come back in. And I would be curious if other people have felt like maybe they're not allowed to even be in the conversation anymore because they don't have a specific, you know, experience or relationship with horses at this moment in their life. But for me, it was like, and I call them hidden horse girls, Courtney. It's when you're living your life and there's just no connection to horses because there is just no connection to horses. Like you don't have the time to go to the barn. No one knows you're a horse girl. And you just, that part of you just gets kind of hidden and not necessarily on purpose, right? It just happens. And so with calling a horse girl, it was like, okay, I want to take that hidden part and give you some connection to horses, give you a reason to be connected to horses. So like the magazine is a really good example. It's like, okay, if you can have, you know, this magazine filled with all these horse girl perspectives and stories and pushing the boundaries of everything, sitting on your coffee table in your New York apartment, that's one step closer to having that connection with horses. You know what I mean?
Yo, I totally know what you mean. I love this. Okay. So you mentioned the magazine. You've got some really cool merch. Let's talk about the different avenues that you use, whether it's the magazine, whether it's merch, whether it's, you know, just starting a conversation on your social media. What are the different channels that you sort of really utilize to create this community to sort of let girls like me back into that horse conversation?
Yeah, I mean, well, it all started on the Instagram. And that was really just me testing to see, I wasn't like, I'm going to test. It was more so I just created it for fun and then realized like, oh, okay, there's a lot of, you know, like-minded individuals, a lot of people going through, you know, what everyone goes through during their horse journey. So it started as the Instagram. So that's a huge way that I connect to the community. It's probably the second largest to the magazine. And then after a while, I was like, I really want to make this more tangible. And I would love to create a physical space that kind of brings more perspectives into one spot. Because, you know, early on Instagram, I was growing and it so revolved around me. And as I grew, like one of my biggest intentions was it for it to not be, you know, like I really don't want Calling All Horse Girls to be directly tied to Emmy Stroman. I want Calling All Horse Girls to be directly tied to, you know, horse girls as a, you know, culture. So the magazine was my way to broaden and bring in more perspectives in a tangible way, bring it outside of Instagram. And then the merchandise is just fun. It's just honestly like, all of it are things that I'm like, oh, I wish I had that, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're just like ways to, again, like connect you to that horse girl identity. So we have this little pin that says horse girl and we call it a badge of honor. And it's such a small little thing. But it's like, you can put that on your bag or put that on your hat. And it's like, it's just, you know, it's like your one little thing, like you're still connected. Like I still want you to feel like you belong. And that's just a way to like keep it in your life, wherever you are.
I love this. I love this. I want to talk a little bit about sort of, you talked about how it got started. Like, you know, you sort of just started sharing on Instagram. And I don't know if you get this question, but like with Fancy Lady Cowgirl, people are always like, well, how did you do it? How did you start it? Where did the idea come from? And I'm like, there's just silence because I'm like, oh my gosh, how many hours do you have? Like, let's sit down and hash this out. But if someone's listening and they're like, dang, I would love to start a community. I would love to create a table that everyone is welcome to sit at, you know, whether it be like Calling All Horse Girls or Fancy Lady Cowgirl, or maybe it's something totally, you know, removed from sort of our two niches. What do you tell them? Like, where can people listening start? Where did you start? I mean, you sort of talked about it. It comes from your love of horses, but how did you go from, oh gosh, I love horses to now I have this platform for women and men like me?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was just having this conversation with someone yesterday and they're building an equestrian, you know, business. And, she asked a similar question. My answer was, I think the most important thing about creating a community is that you hold the space for that community to exist. And so my main job as founder and editor in chief and, you know, all of those things is to hold space, and to allow people to come in, come out, share, not share, like just be a safe space for the community to grow. And I always say like when you're building a community based business, you can't control it to the level that you can control, you know, an e-commerce business. Mm-hmm. So much of it is about listening, and it all goes back to holding that space, but listening to what's needed during that specific moment, or what's not needed, or things that need to shift. And it's very difficult. I would say that for anyone that's like interested in going down this, and I know you feel this too, Courtney, but it's like, it really, it's a thing that you have to be cognizant of every single day. Am I holding the space for this community to exist? Am I holding a safe space? You know?
Oh yeah, that's so good. I wrote that down. Be a safe space for the community to grow. Because I think you really hit it on the head for sort of what you and I are doing. It is very different than if I was simply selling t-shirts, or if you were simply selling a magazine, you know, because we do have far less control over it. And there are so many factors that come into play. You know, what's happening culturally, what's happening, you know, in the world, what are the conversations that people are tuned into and having to constantly like adjust and pivot so that our messages are sort of aligning with the types of messages that people are wanting and needing, whether it's in our community or, you know, communities outside, I guess, sort of our community. So no, I think that's, I think you did a very much better answer than I've ever given to that question. I was literally writing this down. I was like, the next time someone asks me this, I'm going to say, be a safe space for the community to grow. I love that. I'll give you credit. Don't worry. I love it. Okay. So let's just talk a little bit. I read a Voyage LA article about you, and it sounds like you've always been sort of very business minded. You know, I read something about you. You used to charge your relatives to park cars on the holidays. I was like, I love this. I love her already. So you've always been sort of business minded. Let me ask you this, because this is something that sometimes I struggle with. You know, I've got the Fancy Lady Cowgirl, we have Calling All Horse Girls. How do you sort of balance the business side of that, right? Because at the end of the day, we're doing it because we love it. We're doing it because we love the community. We want to see the community grow. But like at the end of the day, you know, you still need to eat, I guess. Yeah. So how do you balance sort of the business side and the community side so that you don't ever lose the value of that community side, I guess, is my question. Because, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, Fancy Lady Cowgirl, like, I want to have events, I want to do all these things, and I just want them to all be free so that everybody can do it. But it's like, that's not sustainable, because then Courtney will be homeless. You know, how do you balance that?
That's a great question, and it's something that definitely evolves. But currently, how do I want to answer this? It's like, I don't want to make decisions based off of making money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, and that's even a privilege to say, you know, like, I don't want to make decisions based off of, you know, but mm-hmm. what I do in order to do that is I take on, you know, part-time jobs to do creative consulting and copywriting and creative strategy and all of that. So I really, and again, it goes back to like creating that space. Like if I'm really, really intentional about it, then Calling All Horse Girls should be creative first. And that's just where my headspace is too. I'm not good at the business side of things. I have a team of people that help me manage that. But my main goal is to like create something truly artistic. Like the magazine is if we're not having fun, then we're not doing it right.
How do you balance the business side, you know, and almost the business side and the emotional side, right? Because you just said, like, if it's not fun, why am I doing it?
Back to the business side really quickly. I think it is hard. Like pricing things is really hard because I feel the same way. I'm like, oh God, is that too expensive or blah, blah, blah. But then I always go back to like, why, like the intention behind the money, like money is energy, right? And like, mm-hmm. And money, like energy needs to come out and go in to keep flowing. Like you don't want to stay stagnant. And so this whole world is created by the people that invest in it and the people that buy the magazines and subscribe. And like all of that is positive energy. And it's so important for the business to be alive. Making a magazine is incredibly expensive. I don't know if people know that. But yeah, so that's how I look at the business side that way. And then I also have people that help me with like the financial and the more logistical side of things, because that's just not the way my brain works. And that's something that I've really learned as creating this company is that you need to have people on board that are better at you, better than you at, you know, certain things. And I do that a lot. And then the emotional side of it, that's something that I, going back to calling all horse girls, like I think of the company as like its own organism and breathing thing that I'm just like continuing to feed, but it's detached from who I am as a person. So that way it doesn't drain me emotionally, or, you know, there's a distance that I really value.
I should really consider taking some of that advice with Fancy Lady Cowgirl. You know, Fancy Lady Cowgirl, like as I'm listening to this, I'm like, wow, what would that be like to like detach a little bit? Because, you know, it started for me. But you know, when I think about the future of sort of where I want it to go and the reason that it began in the first place, is much like you, it's for the community. You know, it's for the people that are going to get to come to Fancy Lady Cowgirl events. It's for the stories of other Fancy Lady Cowgirls that I am working to tell. You know, that really at the end of the day is sort of, gosh, we're just like kindred souls. I don't even know where I was going.
We really are.
I love this. Let's talk about the future of calling all horse girls. Because when I think about the future of Fancy Lady Cowgirl, I'm like, oh, the future is huge, it's bright, it's big. And then they're like, well, what do you have in mind? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just know it's going to be, fabulous. Like, so just go with it. But when you think of calling all horse girls, do you have big, bold plans? Like, do you have next steps? Do you have goals? How do you come up with those goals? You know, because I know there are so many people listening who are probably like, dang, I've got this idea, but like, you know, how does it evolve? How do I take it to the next level? You know, for me, it's always just been one step in front of the, you know, just keep taking the next step.
I relate to that so much in terms of like, I'm incredibly impatient and I move very quickly, and that can be a pro and a con. And I think, you know, as we grow, I'm having to be a little bit more intentional about like where the company's going, because moves make a bigger difference. Where in the beginning, you're testing everything out and you can move, you're very nimble, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, big picture, the whole point of calling all horse girls is to connect more people to horses. It's to break down the barriers to entry, whether that's a magazine in your apartment or you're actually, you know, have the tools to go to a barn and get back in the saddle. And so as it grows, I want to create more opportunities to connect with horses and to break down those barriers. And there's a million ways that that could look like. And I think going back to what we talked about before, it's like, I have a ton of ideas, but I'm not married to any of them because you have to be able to be flexible and grow. But the most important part is like keeping the vision of the company in. That's the only thing you need to keep like so tight and so close and so clear in through every move. But tangible things that we're doing. We're going to some horse shows this summer, which I'm incredibly excited about. Our first pop-up experience. And we have new merchandise coming in. I can't say too much yet, but new merchandise coming in that I'm really excited about. And just keep growing the magazine. That's, you know, that the magazine to me is like a portal into the world. And so that's, you know, our primary goal, to just keep building that world.
So exciting. I think, yeah, you have to remember the why you started doing it in the first place. You know, I'm sure there are days when you're knee deep in that magazine and you're like, why did I do this again? You know, because Fancy Lady Cowgirl, sometimes I'm like, why am I even doing this? Like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. And, you know, like, why did I decide? But, you know, it's always worth it. It's always worth it. And I mean, I know you've sort of done it throughout this whole podcast, but I want you to do it again, because this is the same type of thing that people always ask me. How do you define a horse girl?
I think I wrote a definition on my website, actually, and I don't even remember it.
But, you did. I think you did. And it was good. I don't remember it either. I didn't write it down.
But
go to the website, everyone.
No, I think to me, a horse girl is anyone that feels connected to horses, whether that's like spiritually, emotionally, or physical. It's really that simple. I think it's quite broad, and I think horses are horses are magical, healing creatures, and I think everyone should have the opportunity to be connected to them in some way, shape, or form. And if you have a desire to be connected to them, you are a horse girl.
Oof. Amen. I love that. And I love what you're doing. Before I let you go, are there any, or who comes to mind when I ask you, are there some horse girls that you feel really inspired by, or that you really admire? Or are there some certain, you know, horse girls out there who are really welcoming and accepting of horse girls of all types that sort of come to mind? This is for personal benefit and for the listener's benefits. I'm like, I want to know these people. I want to follow them. I want to be friends with them. Does anyone come to mind?
So many. Yes. So many.
too broad of a question. I just think, you know, we might discover some new horse girls that we want to follow.
Yeah. I mean, I think, so I have advisors on the magazine. One of them is Kate Nelson. She has worked in editorial her whole life. She's a dressage rider. She's amazing. Amelia Diamond is my other advisor, and she's also worked in editorial, you know, forever. And she's so hilarious and incredibly talented, and a horse girl, obviously. I have so many, you know, Instagram friends, Allie Addison being one of them, and Leah at Dapple Bay, and Bethany at My Equestrian Style, and Megan at Solid Citizen. I mean, I could literally go on forever. I would just go to my Instagram, see who I'm following, and follow everyone.
Oh, I love that. Beautiful, beautiful advice. I think I said that was my last question. It's not. I have one more. My last question, because I think about my journey and I think about being Slady Cowgirl, you know, I graduated from college and I went into television. I was singularly focused on being a television host in markets like New York, LA, Chicago, Dallas. Like, that was it. That was all I did. Horses were gone. Everything was gone. The cowgirl side was gone.
Yeah.
Had you asked me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 4 years ago, if I would ever sort of get back into the cowgirl side, or if you had told me where I would be, you know, in 5 years, I would have thought you were nuts. When you think about your journey and, you know, you get into advertising, you go to New York, and then you're in LA, you're living in these major cities. Was there any point where you thought that maybe that was it? Like, you had to choose the career, the path that sort of both you and I were following, or horses? Like, was there at any point where you thought you had to give up one to have the other? And at what point did that thinking, if you had that sort of mindset, at what point did that change?
I'm going to tell you a story because I think it's hilarious about me riding in New York.
God, please. Oh, you rode in New York. Please tell.
So when I switched my major to creative advertising, I had been riding for so long and showing, and I was on the IHSA team, and you know, it was my whole life. So I think at that moment I was actually okay to let it go. I was like, yeah, I think I'm ready to see what else life has for me. And then when I moved to New York, I was like, okay, I'm kind of missing horses, you know, a lot. And I think a year in, I was like, okay, I'm going to find a barn to ride at. So I found a barn in like Bedford, Connecticut, and I took the train to Bedford, mm-hmm. and I got off. I had my saddle, I had my boots, I had my helmet. And at the time, apparently Ubers weren't really a thing. I don't know. Like, they definitely were, but they weren't in Bedford, Connecticut. So I get off the train from the city. My stuff. I'm walking on the side of the road. It's wintertime, mind you. I'm walking to try and get to this barn. And this old woman comes up beside me. She's like, are you going to the barn? I was like, yeah. She's like, do you need a ride? And I was like, oh my God, this is not sustainable. Like, I cannot, there's no riding happening in New York. And after that, I let it go. And I was like, this just is not feasible for me at this time. And I need to be okay with not having it in my life. So that moment was when I was like, for certain that this isn't going to be happening for me anytime soon. Then when I moved to Los Angeles and I had a car, really mode of transportation was the biggest thing for me. When I had a car, I was like, okay, I can make this happen. I can go to the barn. And that was it. That was really it.
I love it. And I think the lesson in that story is that there's always a time, right? Like you could always come back
right.
to the horse girl in you or to the cowgirl in you. Like I think that sometimes in our own brains or maybe culturally, we feel like there's an expiration date on it. Like there's not, you know, I share this story when I do my keynotes, like my mom, you know, she hadn't had a horse since she was a little girl. And she spent 30 plus years driving a truck with me and my sister and our horses from rodeo to rodeo to rodeo. And she was like the poor soul who had to warm up like the barrel horses that nobody else wanted to get on because, you know, you might make it through, you might not. Like she was the person who got all the grunt jobs, the stall cleaner, the whatever. Yeah. And, you know, about a year ago, she finally, you know, at 53 years old, got her first very own like horse that is just hers and no one else's. And now she's going to cutting shows. And I love to share that story when I speak to groups of women, especially because I'm like, it's never too late. And my mom totally thought it was too late. She's like, I'm too old. The horse market is, you know, it's expensive. Nobody can afford it. I'll never be good enough. Like I'm so behind. I got to find a trainer, you know, but like, it's never too late, right? It's never too late to like get back into that horse girl side of you.
That is the cutest story ever. You can't see me, but I'm smiling so good. But yeah, I could not agree more. And I think I put up a story or a post the other day, because like right now I'm not able to ride as much as I'd like to be. And sometimes there's a lot of shame around that. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, you should be sacrificing everything and you should be really uncomfortable. And some people really thrive in that environment and can make it work. I'm not one of those people at this time, you know? And so being okay, truly being okay with where you are at in your horse journey is like 99% of it. And then knowing that like you will, you know, you'll get to where you want to be. It's just one day at a time.
Oh my gosh. The perfect message to end the podcast on. I feel like I could talk to you for 3 hours.
Likewise.
I love this. Oh my gosh. Emmy, thank you so much for joining the Cowgirl Problems podcast. I'm going to share where people can find you, where they can get the magazine, all of the amazing things so that everybody can sort of dial into what you're doing because who doesn't love horse? Like who isn't a horse girl? I mean, come on, let's be honest.
I know. I feel the same way.
Emmy, thank you.
Thank you so much, Courtney.